Good morning. Welcome into In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. It is a Friday morning, and we're talking today with Bob Koppel, President and CEO of Ascension Via Christi Hospital in Manhattan. Bob, how are you doing today?
Good. Very good. Thank you, Brandon.
Always a pleasure to talk with you here. And things have been kind of shifting a little bit on the COVID front here the last couple weeks. We've been seeing trends going down and more vaccines becoming available now, including for those 5 to 11 years old. And it just seems like there's always something in the news about COVID, even though it's starting to maybe dwindle just a little bit. But we can talk a little bit about, because I know there's folks that have a lot of questions, especially for their children 5 to 11, whether or not it's safe. You know, what was this rushed through? Or you know, there's all sorts of questions people have. And so figured we'd start there.
Sure. Well, you know, so I guess from a kind of an overall COVID perspective, so what we have seen is a decrease in the percent positive rate across the counties, you know, where we serve primarily, which is positive, which is a good thing, obviously. That's what we want to see. On the hospital side of things, we actually had our low a couple weeks ago, and then actually ever since then, our volumes have actually been up of COVID patients. And also over the last couple of weeks, we've had a number of deaths related to COVID. So that's, you know, again, for us, still, this is still a concern. Obviously, we're hoping in the future, if the positivity rates stay lower, that we will start to actually see fewer hospitalized patients and fatalities. So certainly that's what's desirable. I think everybody would agree on that. You know, with the vaccines for the kids, one, I think this is great news. Certainly gives us an opportunity to protect. Again, from the very beginning, we talked about protecting those who are vulnerable. Well, children are actually very vulnerable. So this is a good step in that direction. You know, I think if you look at the rigor that was put into this study, it's large sample sizes. I mean, we're talking thousands and thousands of patients have been following them for a number of months and seeing good results and, you know, not lots of side effects or kind of concerns. So certainly encourage people. I think our local physician community would second that as well. And, you know, again, always recommend to people, in this case, talk to your child's family practice physician if that's who they're seeing, talk to their pediatrician or other specialists if that's who they're seeing for care. But I think what you're going to hear is encouragement to get vaccinated and provide that level of protection, especially go into the winter months here. I think that's just a good thing that we're all taking those steps.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Here we have Thanksgiving, Christmas, all these holidays where people are gathering. And we saw what happened last year around this time when numbers shot up.
Correct. Yeah, November, December, January. Obviously, that's when we had our highest volumes here locally and certainly in the hospital. You know, I think it's also a good time to be just kind of think about what are you doing about your health this fall. So certainly would encourage people to get their COVID vaccine if they've not done that, if they're eligible to get a booster. But just got to always keep in mind the need to get flu shots. And, you know, if you kind of hit a certain age or certain health care issues, you might want to talk to your provider about getting a shingles vaccine. All these things are, you know, intended to help keep us healthy and help us watch out for each other. So, again, I think that's important for people to be thinking about. And, you know, I know there's been a lot of discussion in media, at least, and certainly from a political standpoint about natural immunity. I think what the data is showing is that a person has the best immunity if they've had COVID before, if they actually go ahead and get vaccinated with one of the mRNA vaccines. And so would certainly encourage people to consider that as well. I think that no different than those who are vaccinated, they're seeing immunity wane with those who've had it naturally. And, you know, as time goes on, we'll have more and more data about that, but that seems to be pretty compelling at this point. So certainly just encourage people to take if you've got the opportunity, which we do in our community, take advantage of that and get vaccinated. And this is all about, so in our world, healthcare, we talk about a culture of patient safety. I think something like a pandemic, you got to kind of broaden that to the community. And it's doing things like the mitigation steps, like we've been talking about for what seems to be a long time now, and getting vaccinated, that is supporting that that culture of patient safety. So that's what we want to have.
And of course, we've heard a lot about mandates here for vaccines. K-State's mandating its employees to get the shot here by, I think, December 8th. We've seen other folks with, if they have federal ties, they're going to be required to comply here with the new federal mandate. What is the status at Ascension Via Christi? How does that affect your hospital?
So we're actually a little bit ahead in some regards. So our health system actually on July 27th actually instituted its own requirement. And it was a few weeks after that before the federal government announced any sort of requirements or changes. So, you know, we were kind of on the path and we'll be on the path somewhat regardless of that. So our completion date for our associates is actually this Friday, November 12th. And so that's what we've been working towards. And, you know, again, trying to be consistent from a process standpoint with the federal entities and other organizations. We have some other healthcare organizations actually in our region that their completion dates for the vaccines were end of October. And there's a few around the country. I don't know if any here in Kansas, but even had a September 30 completion date. I think in our region, at least, it's kind of started in late October with people's due dates and then kind of through November into December. A big part of that is, too, you have to think about the process to become compliant with the requirement, in that if you're going to get either Pfizer or Moderna, you've got a window that you're actually working at. It's not like you can't just walk in and be done because it's a two-shot regime. If you're getting the Johnson & Johnson product, that is a one shot at this point, although it would appear that they're going to strongly encourage a booster to improve the efficacy of that product. But, you know, we've kind of just been in that. We've been on that path now for, I guess, almost 3 months. You know, I guess for those who don't work in healthcare, and you might not know this, but so we are already required to get vaccinated for flu, MMR, varicella, Tdap. And that's just the vaccine requirements. We got all kinds of other requirements too to work in healthcare. And again, this is all about patient safety. I have had actually community members approach me, knowing that I work at the hospital, and said, "Well, how can I make sure that anybody who's taking care of me has been vaccinated?" And that's another wrinkle in this whole situation, when your customers are asking if your workforce has been protected. And it's very difficult. And not, you know, we can't schedule around that very easily, especially in a facility our size. So it's one more reason, you know, I think just a practical reason that we need to all be vaccinated, because we have customers that want that. So we got to try to meet that requirement too.
Yeah. Here we're speaking with Bob Koppel, President and CEO at Ascension Via Christi Hospital. While we're on the topic of getting vaccines, this is the time of year we generally see more people getting their flu shots. And, you know, we didn't see much of a spike in flu numbers last year, mostly because everyone was kind of sticking at home. But I know there's fears that could ramp back up this year.
So, you know, I think there's a couple of things really impacted last year. Certainly the social distancing, people being at home, kids being not maybe in the classrooms as much, that sort of thing. The masking made a huge difference. We are starting to see flu in the community already. We already have that. If you ask any of the primary care providers, and I'd be able to rattle off how many positive flus they had in their practice over the last week or so. At this point, it's been fairly low numbers, and I don't know that we have anybody that's been hospitalized because of the flu yet, so that's encouraging. In our verbiage, this is also really early in the flu season. Flu season, the higher volumes typically don't hit until right around or after the holidays. And so we still have a window here. The mitigation steps, I mean, both of these are viral illnesses. A lot of it is about airborne viral emissions, if that's the right word. Some people might question Bob for using that word, but that's why the masking helps. That's why the distancing helps, because you just really significantly reduce the potential for that to occur. So I would suspect we're gonna see a whole lot more flu than we saw last year. Hopefully we will not see like what we would have seen in 2019, 2018, 2017, just because we do have a number of folks who are still wearing masks. We have folks who are taking the social distancing precautions. A lot of our local businesses still have some, may not be apparent to everyone else, but they still have some mitigation steps in place. And all of those things help to kind of, you know, tamp down things like the flu.
I'm curious, going forward, I know there's been a lot of press on, you know, COVID cases at the hospital. Is that something with flu cases that the hospital would ever think to put press out on for those kind of numbers?
So we've actually talked about that several times. The problem is it changes multiple times a day. Mm. And so good examples over the last week, so you're discharging people, not every day, but we actually are discharging people with some frequency with COVID, but then you're also admitting. We have had a number of people die, and there's always that giving space and time to the family, and also the health department, all the people who actually have to report all of this stuff. Our numbers, let's see, probably about 2 weeks ago, we had dropped to only four inpatients, and we're thinking, hey, we're finally there. We're finally on the downside. And it wasn't 48 hours later that we were at 10.
Oh, wow.
And so that's kind of the in and the out piece that we just kind of continue to see. And, you know, I know this, the volume matters because it just, once we get, say, past 14 or 15% of our entire census is COVID, which we've lived there a lot in the last month, that's when you start to constrict our ability to do other things. And we've had a number of days where over 20% of our census is COVID positive. And that's really, again, starts to constrict our flexibility and scheduling and getting people in and out. As a region, it's been easier the last week or so to transfer patients. If that's, you know, if they needed some sort of higher level of care or specialty care, but it is still not easy. And I don't know that we anticipate that it's going to be for the foreseeable future. I think that's still going to be a problem because everybody, all the bigger hospitals, and primarily we move almost all patients to the east, either to Topeka or Kansas City if they need a higher level of care. They are all kind of in the same situation we are, where they still have a COVID census that's significant enough that it's taken a lot of resources, and just have some of the other pressures that everybody has around, is there room for everybody else? We just kind of seem to go in spurts of people who fall and break their hips, or this, you know, there's days it seems like it's either gallbladder day or appendix day, because they kind of just, for whatever reason, patients kind of tend to come in groups. So it's just working through things like that.
Okay. I'm going to speak with Bob Koppel, Ascension Via Christi Hospital President and CEO. We're going to take a time out, come back, talk more with him, including some conversation about the 85th anniversary and a major announcement to tell you about here in just a moment here on News Radio KMAN.